I just wish I could, like, slowly turn the volume down, but it doesn't. It just goes right off. How is everyone doing today? It's Crystal. I see a nice, big, full house. I'm so excited to see you all here with me today on Tuesday, November. Infinity sign. That's all I'm saying. Tuesday, November. Infinity and beyond. It's going to be a wonderful day. I've set my intentions that it's going to be a wonderful day no matter what, and we're all just going to play nicely in the sandbox. So I see a real nice big group of you here today. I'm so excited. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for being part of this chat with Crystal. I do this every single Tuesday. I mean, the odd time something comes up and I can't be here or I'm traveling or something, but generally speaking, I'm here every Tuesday at this time, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'm in just outside of Toronto on the West Coast. Of course, those of you that are on right now, you already know that it's about 10 a.m., 4 minutes after 10. And for those of you in England or, you know, Spain, I'm trying to think of all the places over there at this time. It's 6 o'clock, just after 6. Welcome, dinner time. And there's some of you that it's even later. So welcome to everyone who's on the call today. I love doing this. I love being able to support you. And I want you to know you're safe. I got you. You're in the vault. It's a private conversation here. And you only use your first name. So if you want to get some coaching, I would love to support you today. You're in the right place because this is what I love to do. I have a good knack at it. So if anyone right now, just right off the get-go, because I'm flying solo today, if anyone right from the get-go knows it's your day, it's your time, you've got something on your mind, you've been struggling or you're frustrated or you're wanting to have a breakthrough, all you need to do for those of you that are on the phone is press *2 and it'll put you in a queue and I will see your hand goes up and then I will be able to support you, and I'm so excited to be able to do that. There's also those of you that are listening on the webcast right now, so welcome. For those of you on the webcast, you can put your Q&A there right on the webcast page. And that same page that you are on, for those of you on the webcast, is also the same page you come back to every single Tuesday if you got to get the call-in details again. They never change. So those of you that called in today, this is the same number. We've been doing this for, gosh, I think I've had this same number and access code for 15 years. It doesn't change, so just remember it. You'll be able to join me every Tuesday. Of course, it's the same line for our student advisor calls every Monday. Shelley, Alan, Binu, and Marta are student advisors at the SWOT Institute. So for those of you who are students of the school, whether you're taking the Personal Empowerment Coach Certification or the Master Empowerment Coach Certification, this is the same number that you'll call in for our student calls on Monday at the same time. And then, of course, we have Professor Isabella, who does a call every Thursday for our students. So make sure you mark that into your calendar as well, because you've got three spots to be able to connect with your team at the SWOT Institute, and we are here to support you. Today's call, however, is open for the general public. It's for anyone and everyone. I know when I look along at the names, there's a lot of you who are in the school, so I'm so glad you're here, and I'd love to support and coach you. I also see some of you who aren't in the school, and I'm just so happy that you're here because I want you to have this safe place to come to. I want you to get to know me a little bit better and allow me to get to know you. We also have a chat with Crystal on a Facebook private group that you can go in there after the call or during the call. I'm generally not over there looking at all the chatting that goes on during the call, but please feel free to chat with each other, and I will take a peek if I don't get too distracted. Again, that's the same place. Come every Tuesday, and you can chat, get to know each other. For those of you, like I said, who maybe don't even know me, who have never been in my world before, this is just a safe place to connect, to get some coaching, to chat with me, to hear a coaching call, or to sometimes just be a fly on the wall. We can learn so much just by listening to someone else's story, and it just gives us all so much courage when we hear someone else being vulnerable and asking for help. I've learned that the only way you can heal is through other people. I tried it. I tried my whole life to, like, I'm going to heal everyone else or help you heal yourself, but I'm going to do my own healing on my own, thank you very much, because I don't really want anyone to know my stuff. I don't want anyone to know that I got struggles or challenges or temptations or cravings or communication problems or relationship problems. So I always tried to heal everything on my own with my journal. and my books. I would read a book and I would do the work, and it got me a long way. I have to tell you, I never had any coaching or any therapy until last year. So I learned how to do all of what I do from books, from reading. Reading is my best friend other than my dogs. My dogs and books and maybe my family. But I learned so much. And so when I read a book and the book says, try this lesson or do this homework, I've always been someone who did it, because reading it and thinking about doing it is really, really different than doing the work, doing the processes. And I've learned so many of my processes because I did someone's, it worked, and then I tweaked, and then I tried it a new way on myself, and I would practice different things over and over, almost like this is how I coach myself, which now I know I also need support, and that's why I open up and I share so much about my own life, because it's not only liberating for you, it's liberating for me. It's not only freeing for you to hear me tell you my trials and tribulations and triumphs and tragedies, it liberates me too, and it helps heal me too by being validated and witnessed and heard and seen. And sometimes that can be just one of the most powerful ways of healing, is allowing yourself to be seen, to be heard, to be witnessed. Just to have someone say, what? What happened to you? What? That's crazy. That happened to you? I'm so sorry. I hate that that happened to you. That can just be a breakthrough in itself. And then to have the extra added component of someone who says, you're safe here. There's nothing you could tell me. There's nothing you could do. There's nothing that's going to make me turn my back on you or snub you or shame you or be disappointed in you. Nothing. Because we've all made bad choices. We've all been victimized. We've all been victimizers. There is no one here that is going to point the finger at you in any way, shape, or form. We can only heal the things that we're willing to face and talk about and deal with. And so that's what today's conversation offers. So again, if you're on the phone and you would love to get some coaching, press star two, and you'll go in the queue. And we've got a whole hour nearly here to be able to support you. So I'm going to go to the phone lines right away. And right off the top, I see Denise. Hey, Denise,
hello.
How are you? Denise!
Good, how are you?
Hi, great. How are you, darling?
Yay!
Yay!
I'm even more excellent now because I am in the queue.
You're in the queue. You're number one. The first hand went up. So tell me, Denise, tell me where you're at, what's going on, and how I can support you today.
So in the forum, I posted about the dreams that I've been having for the past year of my ex, and they're pretty consistent, and I finally had the courage to, like, put myself out there and post about it.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to see, like, what does all that mean? You know.
So let's first, just so for those who aren't in the Emotional Edge group, the telecourse, and they didn't see your post, give the really short Cliff's Notes version of what that message was so that we can all be brought up to speed.
Okay. So I left him in 2000 for good, 2012. And
how long were you with him?
Over 20 years.
Over 20 years. And you had children together?
Mm-hmm. Two children, yes.
Yeah, okay. And how old are the kids?
In their 20s, 22 okay. and 23.
Okay, and so did you wait until they were old enough? Was that part of it, or why
part
after
of it, yes.
so long did you leave them?
That was one of the biggest reasons. I didn't want to break up my family. I was scared of him trying to take the kids away because I was so financially dependent on him.
Right, okay.
And, yeah, just that whole
just see why it's so important
there.
That women are financially empowered?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
absolutely.
This is a huge part of why I do what I do, is that I want a woman to be able to be have a sense of that she's a sovereign woman. She's independent. And when you're independent, that doesn't mean you can't love someone and be in a really amazing relationship. You don't have that fear that I have to stay here. So, so I hear you. So you were scared, and then around 2012, 4 years ago, you left him permanently, finally, forever and ever, amen. Yeah, and then
yay!
In the last year, yay, it was good for you. Not always the right choice, but for you, you feel it was the right choice?
Absolutely, without a doubt.
And then
so
over the last year,
daughter,
you've been having this dream all the time about him.
Yeah, and so the reason why it's a year only is because my our daughter and him mended their relationship. So he was mad at us for leaving, and he was not talking to her.
Yeah,
and so they didn't have a relationship at all. Yes,
yeah.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
So long story short, she surprised him. He accepted her. They've been working on their relationship. And ever since then, I've been having dreams about him like almost every night. And like you said, Crystal, the dreams are like, some of them are like, we're still married.
Yeah.
And then like most recently it was, he left us, which he had done plenty of times before I left him. So that was that dream. And I was like, this is saying, like, it was just heavy on me. And I was like, I got to get this out and find out why is this happening.
Did you have a hard time, like, for a year? This is just a curiosity, because I have it too, if you do.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a feeling of like, I can't tell anyone this, or I don't want to share this in the forum. Were you holding in on it, or were you just, was it bothering you and you were not wanting to share it, or had you just never even considered sharing it?
Both. I never really considered sharing it, but something said to me, like, it's time to say something. And the reason why I was reluctant to share it is I didn't want anybody to think that I want to get back with him.
That's what I mean. Yeah, so you,
yeah.
It's sort of like we can't control our dreams, but we're still embarrassed sometimes to even share our dreams because that might mean something bad about us.
Yeah.
We can't control our dreams, so your dream is just a dream.
Right.
Whether you had sex
with
15 men in your dream, you don't doesn't mean like anything about you.
Yeah.
I can say that. Okay, moving along. Okay, so you didn't want anyone to realize or to ever consider or think that you wanted to get back with them.
Exactly.
It's almost
yeah.
like why we sometimes don't even want to tell our own partner our dreams, because we don't, like, we think it means something. So what do you think,
mm-hmm.
right, just without overanalyzing it, right off your gut, just quick out of your gut, what do you think it means that you've been dreaming about him?
Honestly, I didn't know, and that's why I put it out there. I mean, now you guys gave me, like, some insight on it that made sense, and now it's becoming more and more clear. But honestly, I really didn't know.
What insight have we given you that is helping you get clear on it, so everybody listening can hear? Because I'm not a dream analysis expert. I mean, I coach you off my gut and off the map of consciousness. But I still have a pretty strong intuition about things, so I'll share
mm-hmm.
some of my thoughts. But what clarity or insight did you get from the group?
Well, the first one that came up that made sense was that his energy was coming through my daughter. Because like I said, prior to this, I rarely thought about him. I rarely would have a dream about him, maybe once every couple of months. But ever since our daughter and him, you know, got back together and their relationship, that's when they started. So that made sense to me.
Yeah, totally.
And then,
that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Let's think of dreams for a minute, and I may kibosh everybody, because I ended up getting therapy last year, a couple of sessions. Not that I would go back a billion times over if I felt I needed or I was struggling. But he was a dream expert, David Bedrick. He's a dream
mm-hmm.
expert. He's a Jungian psychologist, and he's just also like a shaman. He's brilliant. I had a couple of sessions with him, and it was just like, okay, great. But he was a lot about dreams. And, you know, he'd say, well, tell me what your dreams are. And I'd be like, I don't know. Dreams are like, to me, this is what I would say, because I have another dear friend who's like the head of psychiatry at Albert Einstein Hospital and University, and he would say, dreams are just residual tidbits from your day. You watched a TV show, your daughter talked about your ex-husband, your da-da-da-da-da, it all sort of, like he would say, don't read in too much into your dreams. They're just sort of just tidbits of what's going on in your life, and they're coming out. So in your unconscious part of you, it's coming up because it needs some healing around it, or it's coming up because it's in your mind. Whether you're consciously
mm-hmm.
aware of the fact that he's in your mind or not, he's in your mind. Now, David might
mm-hmm.
say, I can't speak for what David would say, but David might say, well, wait a second. Let's investigate, or let's explore what is actually happening in the dream. Can you actually think of a certain dream that stood out to you, that's really stuck with you, and the really short version of what happened in that dream?
Well, the most recent one was him leaving us, and it was just my daughter and I, and we were in this strange neighborhood, and in the majority of my dream was about the dog that we had before we left. So at that point, I thought, okay, I watched this show.
Wait a sec. What about the dog? Most of the dream was about the dog. What about the dog?
The dog, okay, so this was the dog that we had as a family. We had her for 13 years, and when I left him, I had to put her down. And so because of all the craziness that was going on in my life, I never had time to grieve of her leaving.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. The theme around this that I'm feeling, again, I'm not a dream expert. Someone else could weigh in. And if anyone is a dream expert, please raise your hand and come on in on this conversation. But here's what I'm hearing is loss, is grieving. He's leaving. Mm-hmm. Your dog, it was all about your dog. Your dog came up for you. Your dog was still alive in the dream. Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You didn't grieve the loss of your dog. That was like a major part, like to have to put your dog down. You know, it's sort of like, I'm leaving you. Who's going to take him? Who's going to take this old dog? Was it like that sort of, we love this dog, but nobody can keep the dog anymore and he's so old? Or what was it? Why did the dog have to go down at that point? And there's no judgment.
It was a mixture. She was old and I already had surgery on her and she was starting to run into walls and stuff and I didn't want her to suffer. And yeah.
Do you have a little
and
bit of
I
guilt around it?
And,
do you have guilt around that?
Yes.
So what I feel is that this is about your guilt. This is what I'm going to feel. Now I'm going to move into empowerment. It's not that you should feel guilty, Denise. I'm not telling you to feel guilty, but guilt is a funny thing. It can be really illegitimate, but it can really be there under the surface. And when we make decisions from guilt, they're not empowered choices. We don't show up in a way. Mm-hmm. And then we don't even mean to, but in our conscious life, in our real life, in not the dream world, that guilt plays itself out. So you'll attract situations, people will make you feel guilty, you'll find, why am I, you know, so we'll get to that in a minute. So what I'm hearing is guilt and loss and blame. So on the empowerment spectrum, if you were to imagine whether it's a dining room, like a light on a dining room ceiling, or whether it's a ladder that you're climbing to the highest levels of consciousness, to that most empowered, brightest, lightest place inside of you. We all have this spectrum, whether you think of it like hell at the bottom, I feel like shit, and I feel like heaven, mm-hmm. I feel amazing, or whether it's a dimmer switch, I feel so dark and low and dim, or I've turned that bright light up and I feel really bright. So I want you to imagine that guilt and blame and sorrow and grieving there's only one level lower than that, and that's shame. Shame, guilt, blame, sorrow. Those are the four lowest resonating levels of consciousness, the four lowest mm-hmm. levels of energy that we can be at. So it's like your inner light, when you think about your husband, your ex-husband, when you think mm-hmm. about your dog, when you think about you leaving him finally, when you think about the fact that he stopped talking to your daughter and then your daughter had to go back and be the bigger person and now she's forging this relationship with him and all of that, under all of that, would you say, whether it's legitimate or illegitimate, in your most honest moment you weren't being judged, do you feel a little bit guilty about all of it?
Not as much as before.
But it's still there.
I still have guilt sometimes.
Yeah. You know, my daughter went to see her dad on Friday, again, in the vault. You know, she's really upset. She just feels like they have not had a close relationship her whole life. And mm-hmm. she was really sad, and she's very empowered. She wrote him a text message about a week or two ago to say, you know, I'm just really unhappy with our relationship, whatever it is she wrote. And he said, well, we need to get together and talk. So when she got mm-hmm. there, he had like a bullet points of why he's a good dad. Like he actually had saved text messages from like 5 years. I texted you on this day. Mm-hmm. I wrote, I love you, and you didn't write me back. And so he had all his bullet points to prove he's a good dad instead of just hearing her and validating her. The point that mm-hmm. I'm getting at is at one point in the conversation, he started to cry. I know this is very personal. Mm-hmm. This is between us, but same thing. And he started to cry, and he said, you know, I loved your mom, and you know, it broke my heart. I cried for 6 months after she left because I didn't want you kids to be from a divorced family. And she started crying, and I could feel when she started telling me, and I could feel myself going, fuck, really? Are we still mm-hmm. doing this? It's been 15 years, maybe mm-hmm. longer, that we've been apart. And I mm-hmm. apologize, and I'm sorry, and I left you. And all I said to Madeline really calmly was, you know, Madeline, every parent tries to do it better than theirs. You know, and I did so much of a better job than my mom did, and you're going to do a way better job than I did. And, you know, so I sort of talked to her, and I said, but look what my life would have been like if I would have stayed with your dad. Do you think I'd be this woman? And do you think, and she's like, no. And I said, but I stayed really calm, and I just validated that it is sad. And it is, mm-hmm. and it allowed me to express my compassion for her dad, and for her, and mm-hmm. for all of us that we had to go through that breakup. And I may even write him a letter, and I haven't done it because it's been a long time coming. I may even write him something, one last letter to say, you know, because the reality is, yeah, I left you 15 years ago or longer. You could have built a great relationship with your children. You didn't. I didn't alienate mm-hmm. you. So I think there's a conversation that you still need to have fully with either your ex, with yourself, or with your daughter, that's going to put mm-hmm. just some closure around this, so that because the dream mm-hmm. is showing you that it's not closed. He's mm-hmm. still coming up in your dreams. He's still leaving you. He's still hurting you. The dog had to be mm-hmm. put down. There's still sorrow, and there's still some sorrow in there. And sometimes it's mm-hmm. just time. Sometimes there's nothing you can do except give yourself time and the honesty to not beat yourself up for feeling that, but to be honest that, yeah, there's still some guilt in there.
Mm-hmm.
What does all that feel like when I say all that to you? Does any of that resonate?
Yeah.
Does it click? Does it feel right?
Absolutely. Yes. All of it, yes. And I was thinking, you know, all the work that I've done with you has been around, you know, my parents and stuff, the majority of it. And so
yeah.
when you have us write the letter, I wrote a letter to my mom.
Yeah.
And I thought today, I'm like, shit, maybe I should write a letter to him and burn it.
Yes.
You know, and just get everything
Bingo.
Out and just say.
Here's why. Here's why, Denise. Because the step that the intervention I would give someone who was stuck in blame, because you're still holding on some blame towards him too, right? Like, it's natural. I still
mm-hmm.
have some blame towards
mm-hmm.
my ex. Why couldn't you have done this better?
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't you have done that? Why couldn't you love me? Why did you have to do illegal things? But that's, he is who he is, and your ex is who he is. But so we still have
right.
a level of blame in there. And then
mm-hmm.
just above blame is grieving. So I would write him a letter that's all the could have been and should have been and ought to have been. What he should have been like,
mm-hmm.
what it should have gone like,
mm-hmm.
even if it was your divorce, how that should have been, could have been, and ought to have been to be so much better and healthier for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, every way that his choices, and you can have a full-blown pity party in that
mm-hmm.
letter. That letter is whatever and everything you need to say. What are some of the things you might tell him in that letter? How he's hurt you,
mm-hmm.
or how it's changed you, or how this whole thing has... How your relationship with him, what you learned from him, what you lost because of him,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
what comes up for you around that?
The biggest thing is him choosing his addiction over us as a family. That's the
yeah.
biggest thing that stands out for me.
Yeah, and what would you tell him? What could have been and should have been and ought to have been?
He should have chosen us as a family over
yeah.
his addiction.
Yeah.
He should have, you know, because we were, it's a lot, but anyway, we were like on the path of growing the family business, and, you know, there was just so much potential for us as a family.
Yes, yes. It's so freaking sad. It's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
In an honest moment, this is a cry worthy thing to say. It is so freaking sad that we could have,
mm-hmm.
I felt that same sadness, you know, when Madeline told me on Sunday, and we, you know, we talked, and I said, it is so sad. Could I have made it work with your dad? Jeez. In hindsight, everybody looks back, and then I, you know, but you have to still honor the sorrow of what could have been and should have been and ought to have been in order to get on with it. And even if you think
right.
you've done it, if it's coming up for you, it's because it's time for you to heal another layer of this. Mm-hmm. Because you finally had the courage to write about it in a message forum and get on a phone call with me means it's time. It's time for you to let go of another layer of your guilt and to blame him. Because blame resonates higher than guilt. So you're going to blame him. You're going to write a letter that's totally pointing the finger of everything he did and how he hurt you. And even though it seems low resonating, it's there. We got to shine light on that stuff. It's in there. And as much as you could chant positive affirmations, how I love my life now and I love my life now, my life is so good now and I'm going to create a good life now, there's sorrow about over 20 years of time that we could have built an incredible business, an incredible family, an incredible marriage. We could have had so much money by this time. We didn't have to divvy everything up. If you didn't have an addiction, we could have had such a platform right now as you're now moving into the second stage of your life. How old are you, 40? How old are you, 50, 45?
Well, thank you. I'm 46.
46. You're my age, exactly.
Yeah.
So we're at the same stage. It's like I'm in my 40s. I want to – I right now could have been in a whole different position if you wouldn't have been an addict. And you got to give yourself permission to shine light on that wounded part of you. The wounded wife. Not the empowered Denise that's making things happen in her life. You've got to give the wounded wife a voice.
I like that.
Because
I never thought of it that way.
There's a wounded wife in there. You have a wounded wife. There's the empowered Denise, but there's still a wounded wife and an angry mother and a guilty mother in there. And she will not go away until you really validate her and love her and assure her that she did the right thing. And the only way you're going to assure the wounded, guilty wife and mother is by letting her really share her story and really tell the truth about how effing pissed off she is and hurt and sad. And and that you're pissed off that you have to carry this guilt around when the truth is you would have happily stayed married to him if he would have had his shit together.
Yes.
Right?
That was the plan.
That was our plan, asshole. Like, that's how you write it. Even if he's a great guy. Even if he's a great guy for someone else, you're not writing to the great guy. You're not writing from the great Denise. You're writing from the place that's wounded, and that wounded part of you needs that voice and needs that expression. And when she feels heard and loved and like the real Denise is going to say to her, I got you, you know, even though this all happened, I got you, and you still deserve love, and you still deserve a great love life, and you still deserve a great future, and you still deserve a great relationship with your children. And truthfully, you still deserve to be friends with him one day. Because you had children together. And being enemies is crazy. But you could not even consider becoming friends with him until you really work out your anger, your guilt, your blame, your sorrow, your fear, all the stuff, how scared you were to be married to a man. You didn't have enough money. He made the money, but he also had an addiction. And that just robbed you of so much of your power for a long time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me what you feel. Tell me what you think.
I feel like I was on the right path. I felt like writing him a letter is what I needed to do to, like, release all of this shit.
Yep.
But you, like, shed more light on it of how I was going to, you know, format the letter, because I was thinking that maybe I should do, like, the whole I hate and then thank you, because...
Not yet.
You know, honestly...
Because you know what? A hate resonates, like, you know, the ladder or the dimmer switch? So I want you to imagine that you're climbing the ladder. So it goes shame. Then it goes guilt. Then it goes... This is from the Map of Consciousness, Dr. David Hawkins, Power versus Force. So it goes shame. And then it goes guilt. And then it goes blame. And then it goes grieving. And then it goes fear. And then it goes desire. And then it goes anger. I hate. Now I can say, I'm so fucking pissed off at you. And then it climbs up into self-righteousness. And then you get neutral. And then you get courageous. And then you get willing. And then you're able to say thank you. See, but if you try to rush that process, You got mm-hmm. a wounded part of you that's still resonating down in guilt and sorrow and blame. And she's okay. not ready to hate him yet. She's still crying for how wounded she is and how badly he hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
There's a part of you that hates him. There's a part of you that loves him. And there's a part of you that's still desperately wounded by him. Mm-hmm. And there's a part of you that has such self-guilt because you were the one that finally left and put your dog down.
Mm-hmm.
You made that choice. And you've got to deal with that guilt so that it won't eat you up and suck the life out of you and show up in your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not telling you to feel guilty at all. We've all had to do things. I look back. I'm just going to blurt this out because I can't believe it. I had two cats for a long time. And when I was like, literally had cats as like a teenager. I had these damn two cats that I took with me that I got from the time I was about 17. And by the time my kids were born, this one damn cat, I loved him so much, but he peed on everything. And he wouldn't stop peeing on everything. And even when I gave him to a friend, she was like, he's peeing all over everything. I got him, I did everything. And you know what? I can't believe I did it. I'm so ashamed of it because I love animals. I put him down. I put mm-hmm. him down because my kid kept crawling on the floor into pee and poo all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't mm-hmm. do that now, but at the time, that with the choices that I had and how I felt, I did that. I had to release myself from the guilt that I would do that to an animal. But I did it.
Mm-hmm.
It was my animal that I had for probably 9 years. So I get it. And all of that, these are just all the little things that are coming up for you. The dog is coming up for you to help you release your guilt. Your ex is coming mm-hmm. up to help you release your guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next step in releasing your guilt is writing your blame letter. I had to put my goddamn dog to sleep because of you. Because if you would have just been a good husband, we would have stayed as a family. The dog would have lived until it was really ready. And I wouldn't have even had to make that choice. You would have brought him in.
Right.
Right? You left me with everything.
Absolutely.
You left me with everything. Every hard decision I was forced to have to make because you were an addict. And I'm angry mm-hmm. at you. And you can write all that in that letter. And if you build to the hate, great, go for it at that point. But first, mm-hmm. let your sorrow talk and your blame. Let your sorrow. The sorrow is this. This is what it should have been, could have been, and ought to have been.
Mm-hmm.
That's what sorrow says. And you got to honor that sorrow. And I feel so guilty now because... And write all that out. And I blame you because, and I was so afraid because of the choices you made. And that, it doesn't sound empowered, but
mm-hmm.
you got to do that to get back higher empowerment. And you might be saying, Crystal, I am really empowered, but it's coming out in your dreams, which means it's part of your unconscious still.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. So why don't you do that, and if you really feel courageous, write the letter and share it in our forum, like our message,
okay.
our private, and then we will validate you. And then once we've read it and we've all validated you, burn it. But
okay.
don't burn it until you've been validated. You need someone to say,
okay.
right on, like, what an asshole. You actually need someone to say that to you. You need someone
yeah.
to say, what? I'm so sorry. I'm so sad for you. That's bullshit
mm-hmm.
you went through that.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll really feel like, yeah, I was a wounded wife. And as much, you know, I remember talking to a woman once and I said, you're so wounded. And she was so offended. I am not wounded. I am so
mm-hmm.
empowered now. I know you are, but you're wounded. How could you not have gone through all that and not have some wounds?
And I was there at one time. If somebody would have said that to me, you're so wounded, Denise, I would have said, no, I'm not. I'm strong.
Yeah.
I mean, look
yeah.
at the shit I've been through and look
where
I am
now. Look what I've been
now.
Through, because that's your warrior
yeah.
now coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to let your victim, your little scared girl, your victim, you need to let that, the martyr, your martyr, all those low resonating archetypes, you know, in the emotional edge,
mm-hmm.
all the ones at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
the wallflower, the martyr, the rescuer. You need to let the scared child, you need to let the lone wolf, you need to let the addict, You need to let all those parts of you talk, have a voice, because that's really the passive, scared part of you, the guilty part of you, is all those archetypes.
Mm-hmm.
Let those archetypes have a voice. That's how you'll heal them and integrate them back into the wholeness of who you are as an empowered woman.
Excellent.
Alrighty?
Yep.
Thank
you
so
much.
You're so welcome. I'm just going to mute your line. Thanks so much, Denise. And Kylie, I see you there. I'm coming to you next, girl.
Yeah.
Kylie.
Hi. You can go to the
Noisy.
Next person. I had a school question. You can go
okay,
to the
darling.
Next person. Yes.
Okay. Moving on. I wanted to talk to Kylie, but it wasn't meant to be today, so we're moving on. I can't see your name. You're on a cell phone, I do believe. And I think you're in Saskatchewan. Who's this?
Oh, it's Wendy.
Wendy. How are you, Wendy?
I'm good. Oh, my God.
Good.
I'm talking to
yay!
I'm going to get off the speaker.
Okay, yeah, the speaker will wreck the recording, too. So
yeah, absolutely. So I'm off the speaker. Oh, my God, I'm just glad I got a chance to talk to you. I just want to thank you so much for starting that 12-week program again. Like,
thank you.
Being in fit, it's just right where I need to be.
Me, too.
I just was laughing when you're talking about Aaron sabotaging you. Because my husband does that to me all the time.
Okay, so for everyone that doesn't know, we've started a 12-week based off my book, Simply Woman, that I wrote like 15 years ago when I was a whippersnapper and in really good shape, and everything seemed to come really easy for me, and I really didn't have the cravings that I have now and the lifestyle. By the time you're 46, you got a lifestyle that you're sort of like when they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
It's a challenge,
right? It's like, oh, my gosh, I've gotten used to being able to go to nice restaurants and order whatever I want on the menu. And
well, that's what I'm
I
realizing since I've been doing this, like, because I started a little before you, is how often we do go out to eat and how much we do have people over. So it's been a bit of an eye-opener.
Yeah, so what I'm realizing, so what Wendy was mentioning was I said, I don't even want him to hear me. I'm like, see, I'll get whispery because in the room, he might be beside me. But this is what my husband does. Like, I know he loves me. Like, I swear to God, I don't think there's another, other than maybe Madeline and Julia, and there's not another soul on the earth that loves me the way this human being loves me. Like, he loves me. But he does these little things, like, that I would probably do to myself. He loves me so much that he doesn't, so he brings me cheese and wine, even though I go, no, Aaron.
I think maybe that is part of it, because they do love us so much, they just want to make us happy, even though those are the things that really don't make us happy.
Yeah, when I'm saying, no, Aaron, no, listen, I said, he goes, and he's not even being rude, like, oh, what, no one else can eat? No, because, like, I just want to be really clear. Like, I think there was someone that said, well, I wouldn't take all the good food out of the house, because of my family still wants it. I'm going to be really clear. I haven't removed anything. I've had the willpower to not, we still have anything that we ever had in the house, which was never a lot of junk, but there might be cheese and there might be some salt and organic tortilla chips or some things like that. So I haven't said, and for almost a year now, it'll be a year on November 12th, I've been a vegetarian. So I've cooked meat for them while I cooked tofu for me. I've cooked, like I have always, like I've never tried to force my way on anyone. But I did say to him, Aaron, just, you know, give me a week at least without, you know, walking in front of me with a glass of wine and cheese and going, this wine is so good, when I'm trying not to have any. Just try it. Please, just give me a couple of days. One day in. Like, he literally is like, so I got these big, beautiful beefsteak tomatoes, and I'm gonna hollow them out. I'm going to put garlic and cheese in them, and I'm going to bake them for you for dinner. I go, no, honey, I can't have, you do that for you guys, but I'm not going to have any cheese. Just do the garlic, and I'll just have the baked tomato. Well, even at dinner, like, so we're sitting at dinner, and he's like, oh, honey, have a taste of this. And I thought we did spot a little bit, but I thought it was just a tomato. And when he puts it in my mouth, he put the whole chunk of cheese that was in the center. And he's like, I just knew it's so good. I wanted you to have it. It tastes so good. I go, honey, I didn't have one in my tomato because then he makes, like, I have this amazing husband that made dinner, so how can I complain? And he set the table, and it was beautiful, and everybody was happy. There was music playing. It was a wonderful dinner. Like, how could I complain? But then he also makes, he knows I love potatoes. So then he makes roasted potatoes, and he puts maple syrup on it. I've never even had that before. I don't even have one. But all three of them are eating their roasted potatoes with just a tiny bit of maple syrup, and I don't know, whatever the heck he put on it. They were like, oh, my God, these are the best potatoes I've ever had. I'm just like, I don't even say a word. I'm just like, oh,
I know, but my husband did it the same with, he made French fries. We have this great olive oil from Greece. And he never does it, but he did the other day. And I said, I can't have that.
Yeah, like, why? Why right now?
Why today? Why? Like, why now? You haven't made these for, like, 8 months.
I know. Like, why? It's my first day in. So they have beef kebabs, roasted potatoes, the nice tomato, and he made a big salad. So instead, I had a piece of fish, the salad, and my tomato with it. And I was actually really happy, and everything was good. Then after dinner, I come up, and I'm like, I'm just going to run a bath. I go into my bathroom. I've been running my bath. God bless him. Like, he beautifully lights candles all in there for me, and he's got a bowl sitting beside the bathtub of salsa and tortilla chips. Not even healthy tortilla chips. Not even organic, baked or something, you know, with, like, natural sea salt. Like the shit-ass, you know, Tostitos. I go, Aaron, why would you put those in? Just in case you wanted some. I'm like, I took, like, two or three, and I went, no, you got to take this away. Like, I didn't crave. I didn't cave, but there was definitely a feeling of, like, and here's the funny thing. Then, what else do you do? Then, I open up the cupboard. I go, what is this? Like, it's like some kind of pink daiquiri pre-mixed drink in the cupboard. I go, what is this? And he's like, I don't know. I thought it'd be good. He pours a glass and puts ice in it, and he sits and drinks a pink daiquiri.
You know what?
My husband is doing to me.
My husband has been the same, and I have not been able to stick with something for 2 years since I've been with him. But this time I'm different. I just don't let it bug me. And
well,
I don't have his woe
tell me how. Tell me
attitude.
How. Yes.
Because you can't feel sorry for yourself.
Yes.
If you do this, thinking, oh, my God, I have to lose weight. This is a diet.
And it's not.
You know,
and I don't feel that way.
And so when you do this as a health kick, you just want to feel better.
Yes.
And I've been really able to be pretty strong.
Yes.
You know, I
well,
still get in
what?
The wine a little bit, but that's okay.
Yes. And you know what? It actually, I'm feeling the same feeling. And this is why for anyone that's wanting to lose weight, your mindset is everything. Because there were a couple of people that wrote things like, my final dinner before this. And I was like, why would you do that to yourself? Like, some big-ass French fry hamburger. Like, I'm going to have my final dinner. No, that's the wrong
thing. Because
then it's like,
Yeah,
you're going
yeah,
into it thinking, like, Sunday morning
I'm
going to
have this again.
Yes,
you know?
I'm going to have my Sunday morning, one friend wrote, like, French toast was sprinkled with, what's that, icing sugar and some creamy stuff all over it and fruit. And I was like, whoa, it's my last for 3 months. Well, no, that's crazy. No, you can't. So the one thing I do feel really good about right now is I feel that same energy and excitement that I felt when I first lost all my weight.
Well, like, that's how I feel, Crystal. I really do. And I started before you. I started this after Thanksgiving for me. But well, I'm really glad you're keeping us going because that'll keep me going when I get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. But right now, so I have lost 10 pounds and I feel really good.
Yeah. And then that becomes actually more motivating than the chips or the fries or the how you feel actually starts to give you like almost a sense of. And what I keep remembering back to is, when my first marriage, I first lost all this weight, and where I'm really trying to keep myself in check is, I had small children when I lost the weight the first time. I wasn't a drinker. I was just so committed to my family back then.
Yeah,
and
you
I
don't.
Lost all
I
this,
think when kids are little, you don't drink very much. I didn't.
You don't.
Either.
I didn't drink at all.
You can't.
Like, it probably
you can't.
Went 3 or 4 years.
If you did have
years.
One glass of wine, you'd fall asleep.
Yeah, like I didn't drink at all back then, so that wasn't an issue. But I just got so healthy. I was always really angry at my husband back then, and I remember my marriage actually became the best it ever was when I first lost the weight because I just found ways. He was controlling, so I found ways. Like, I wouldn't even ask him or be mad at him, or I would just be like, okay, if he's not going to babysit the children, I'll get up at 6 in the morning, and I'll go for that run outside and not say a word and be back before anyone's even woken up. Or I would, and then he got on board. Like, I remember after a little while, it'd be like I'd come in and he'd already be making egg whites and coffee, and I'd be like, oh, my God, thank you. Our marriage got really good until I would say I became too fit. I got so sexy. He got so fit because then he was trying to keep up. Then before you knew it, we were just like Barbie and Ken, and I was too young, and it was probably just the wrong marriage, but I ended up leaving him. And I had a lot of guilt, just like when I was talking with Denise. It was like, how could I don't want to feel guilty. And I ended up leaving him for another man. So that was, like, even worse, because why couldn't I have just left him? Because there was a billion reasons to leave him.
There is,
the right,
you know, but the guilt goes away. Like, I had my ex-husband, and I felt guilty because I thought, oh, so we got divorced, but I always felt guilty. I thought, he
yes.
was a good father. He was good. So I went back.
Yep.
And you know what? It wasn't any better. But so now I have zero guilt.
Well, that's,
I
and
did
I,
everything in my
yes.
power to make that marriage work.
Yes. And you know what?
It wasn't there for me.
That's right. And I had to say to myself, I went back a few times, and I actually at one point, even after I had...
Guilt.
Yeah, that was my guilt.
From
I
the
went
devil.
Back, right? From, I went back a few times, and I would be out for dinner with him thinking, I don't like the way you even eat your food. Oh, my God, how am I going to make this? Just the way you chew your food. And then I remember one time, though, it was probably a year after we'd split up, and I was just really feeling sad, and I hadn't gotten together with the guy that I cheated with. I was just, that wasn't working, and I was like, oh, my God, what have I done? Why did I
just a way out.
My
that
husband?
Was just a way out.
Yeah, it was just a way out. So I remember calling my husband, and I'd had too much to drink. It was the only time I ever did it. But I cried, and I said, I'm so sorry, and I'm... Maybe we should try to get back together, and I'm sorry, and you made a million mistakes, and I made mistakes, and we should try. And instead of him, who he claimed he loved me, he just shared that call with everybody. It embarrassed me. Like,
oh, no.
Everybody heard that call. Like, I was like, okay, I'm not guilty anymore. You fucker. Like, he let everybody, my family, my children, his family, our friends, everybody
oh, that
got
made
to hear
feel
me.
Good. See, she
yeah,
wanted
so,
me.
Yeah, see, she still wanted me.
Ego. Yeah.
But he wouldn't, but he said, nope, you made your bed, you lay in it. So when he cries to my daughter now, like 16 years later, I want to say, you had a million chances to make this work, and you didn't, and I'm sorry, and in hindsight, you know, I am so sorry I hurt you. I had no business getting married at 21. I got together with him when I was a teenager, 17. Like,
yeah,
I had no business getting married. I was just because I was homeless when I met him, and we could pay the rent together.
Yeah.
That really was such a marriage of convenience, and he was a good guy back then. He was a kid. But as
yeah.
we grew apart, and that's what I think all of us need to know, those of us who have gone through divorces or are going through a divorce or a breakup, it is hard. Jeez, like if I had the communication skills I have now, if I had the level of compassion and tolerance and understanding I had now, maybe I never would have married him. Maybe I would have married him. Maybe I would have stayed with him forever and a day. Maybe we would have had the best marriage ever. But it didn't. We didn't go that way. So here I am
yeah.
now with Aaron, who loves me, who I think, you know what I was going to do another live Facebook chat today, and I thought, Crystal, you're going to kill these women, because if you don't keep this pace up for 3 months, you're going to look like you were fast and furious and fell off track. So I didn't do it. But I was going to, and what I was going to say is, ladies, for those of you that are, your relationships are driving you crazy, like my husband last night, who I love, but did all those stupid things, because I started thinking when I was walking today, oh, my God, what if he's trying to keep me fat? What if I lose all the weight? And
I don't know if it's so much about keeping you fat as it is
keeping you happy.
Loving you.
Keeping you happy.
I'm wanting you to be happy. Like,
yeah.
It makes her happy. I want her to be
yeah.
happy.
Yeah,
so
but
get bored on the healthy kick, because my husband's still doing that. I said, I just don't want to entertain. You know,
not right now.
Had all these people and a big pizza party. And I said, I'm not helping you tonight. I'm so mad at him.
Yeah,
said,
why would you throw a big party
over? And
with
then
pizza?
He got mad at me. He said, you know, you didn't even help. I said, I told you I wasn't. How about,
yep.
how, you know, it's
yep.
not so fun doing all by yourself.
And here's
then,
the advice that I'm going to give any
then,
woman
so
right
then
now.
He
I just,
got, then
oh, yeah,
he got
go
me
ahead.
A house cleaner to clean up the next day.
He got you what?
A house cleaner. He says, you know, I'm sorry. I'll get someone to help you clean up. Well, he cleaned up the mess from the night, but just the extra things like
yeah.
windows and anyway,
yes.
so it was too funny. So our house is completely spotless
well,
now.
Great.
But so that
Look
was another
that
way
out.
To make amends.
Yes. And, you know, I was thinking as I was walking along, I thought, if the best advice I could give to any woman is just ignore their bad behavior.
Yeah.
Just ignore them.
You
I know that
to.
You want to race
don't
after them and scream.
Don't feel sorry for yourself.
Yep, don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't be his mother and try to fix him. Don't race out. Because there's a couple times, like, I just want to race down the stairs and go, why are you doing this to me? But
yeah.
instead, I just don't race after him. Ignore the bad behavior and focus on yourself. Because I'll tell you one thing, you trade one man in, you're just going to get another man.
It's going to be the same.
Even if they're wonderful and you have a good one, there's always going to be something. So if you got a good guy, just ignore that stuff and focus on yourself and get yourself great.
Just you do. And, you know, I probably, when I had my little hissy fist on Sunday, I'd been doing this a while, so I did kind of get a little more upset than I normally would.
Yeah.
Because I was feeling that need to eat and drink.
Right.
And those are my little vices. And
right.
I really
because you.
Be grumpy.
Yes.
Get whatever was out.
Yes.
So that does come up, too, when you're on this journey.
Yes. And I think that's what it is. Like, even last night, the truth is, when I'm really in a good place, and I don't have those, it won't really even faze me. And it won't, because I remember after I was really in a good place, I could go out for dinner. People didn't even know why I was trying to watch what I was eating, because I would just choose, and I never made a big deal. I never acted like, well, I'm on a diet, so I need to have, I just got really good at ordering smart things. And, you know, I would even ask for like sparkling water in a wine glass. I don't, you know, I want to have that same experience. Mm-hmm. I got so good at it. I'm just not good at it yet. I got to make it a habit again. And once it becomes
a habit,
it does.
It just takes practice.
Because
I've been there in my life before, and I can do it again. But I don't know why. Well, I guess just life gets in our way sometimes, and we lose track and gain weight.
It is what it is. It's just all part of our journey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, well, thank you, Wendy. Any words of advice for all our women doing our 12-week program?
No, just ease into it. For some of those that have never done like this at all for a long time or have struggled, start with drinking water. Start with walking. Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Just do little things.
Yeah. Because I think if we make it too all or nothing, it becomes all or nothing. And so,
especially if you haven't done it for a long time, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know what it's like with me? Like I remember after a couple of years ago, I still looked fit because I still had the muscle from all the training, but I wasn't fit.
Yeah.
And I hired a personal trainer, and because he thought, oh, it's Chris Landers, and she was in this galaxy, and she won the Ontario Bodybuilding Championship, he kicked the shit out of me. And I remember when I woke up the next morning, my biceps had actually, when I went to the doctors, he was like, you look like you've been, like you, the muscle damage, you look like you've been, I was so bruised and swollen, and my biceps had actually, like they felt like they were just, I couldn't move, like my arms didn't move for about a week. And, I thought to myself, you can't go back to the level that you think you were at. So even though right now I'm so supercharged, I'm just walking.
That's what I've been doing too, starting. And I'm going to bring in weight soon, but right now I'm just walking.
Really speed walk today. Yesterday I did 6 kilometers. And today I got back here. Aaron actually called me at like 1:03. The call started at 1:00. He was like, are you going to make it in time? And I was like, I'm getting every last bit of a walk in I can. But I did just over 5 kilometers today. So it felt great. And I may go back and do more. I may go back and walk more just because I know now that's so good. And just walking and keeping your body in alignment, you know, really thinking about where's my neck. Yeah, it's just good for you. Letting your shoulder blades fall down your back, hold your tummy in. You know, even just walking with intention, holding your stomach in, your shoulders back.
And another thing, if some people are struggling, get a friend, just somebody to walk with you.
Yep.
It gets you going too.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so anyone who hasn't joined our group yet, we'd love you to join. It's a lot of fun. It's all about being real. Some of the women have put up their before pictures. They've motivated me.
Yeah, they're just really going for it.
I think I'm
going to
do it. I think I'm going to be real and do it. Like, I actually, like, I lifted up my shirt today and went, no, you're not going to take a picture and show your belly right now. And I was like, no. Bellies are worse than this. Bellies are better than this. This is just where I'm at.
My weight is in the belly.
Oh, God, that damn belly. That's the wine weight. That's the menopause. That's the perimenopause.
That's the
wine
part.
Weight.
That is. That is, for
goodness
sure.
Gracious, yeah. Well, thank you, Wendy.
Okay,
and
keep up the good work. Yeah.
Yeah, you too. Keep motivating
us. I am. Well, you know what's really been good? Okay, I'm in SWAT, but I've been horrible at doing anything, and it wasn't until I got back on my little health kick here that I started doing stuff again. So,
me too. Can I tell you something? Since I've been kicking it up, I can't believe, because you don't want to, like, just laze around, because when you laze around, you either want to eat or drink. So I find, this is the other thing I'm saying, Aaron, I got to go to bed earlier. I can't just laze around. I have to stay busy right now, because staying busy, I'm cleaning, I'm holy jumping. You wouldn't believe the stuff I'm getting accomplished. So much stuff that I'm like, you know, this eating good and this exercise, this is darn good for us.
It is, yeah.
Darn hootin'.
Yeah.
Darn tootin' tootin'. That's all I got to say. That's all
we
I got to say.
We have one amazing group of women.
We do.
Women.
Don't we?
Pretty soon, 12. Yeah.
Yeah, we're amazing.
We'll be fit.
Yes. So thank you so much, Wendy.
Awesome.
Thank you,
okay,
everyone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, awesome.
Nice
thank you, girl.
Okay, take
thank
care.
Thank you, Denise,
okay.
for... Wendy makes me laugh. Thank you, Denise. Thank you, everyone. We're going to end today with a fun song because it gives me energy and it reminds me I'm all things. You're all things. You've got to embrace the part of you that's fighting this right now. Get to know that part of you. I remember when this song came out, 1997, it was the summer that I had lost my weight and was 27 years old and was like, oh, my God, I'm a woman. I'm a bitch. I'm a mother. I'm a child. I want to clear this song, and I'm going to play this for you, and this is how we're ending today. You are everything. Do it, girls. I love you. Bye for now.
Yesterday I cried. The moderator has left the conference.